Good afternoon and welcome to the Channel Final Bell on the Rural Radio Network. I'm Susan Littlefield. As we take a look at the markets and the interesting trade we had today, as you all know, the soybeans kind of struggled throughout the day. The beans, there was the hope that they could have kept to the upside, ended up finishing negative, as well as an interesting ride on the cattle side, all tied to HPAI. We've got a lot to discuss during today's report. It is all over the gamut. All really comes back to why we've seen the markets trade like they did. So to get the details, we're bringing in Darren Fry. Darren, of course, is with Water Street Advisors, and kind of wanted to start out this action on the corn. I mean, it struggled from the moment it opened, and it just couldn't find any good footing under it.
No, it really couldn't. Thanks for having me on today, Susan. It's a good day because we've had a lot of volatility and a lot to talk about. But as you asked about corn, you know, the old crop contracts really acted a lot worse than new crop corn. December corn ended up being down, you know, 5 cents. But if you look at the retracement it made into the up move that we had from the report on last Thursday, you really didn't get near as deep into that move higher like we did in the old crop. Old crop contracts made new lows today below the report day low. So the old crop was really weak. The new crop maybe is buying into a smaller acreage number. But, you know, we just didn't have a big enough reduction on the stocks report. We still have plenty of old crop corn, and old crop corn traded like we have plenty of old crop corn.
So what do you see? And you talked about this volatility, and obviously we've got a lot of movement taking place. Is the macros some of the biggest reasons why we saw the drop that we did in these grains today?
You know, I don't think the macro is adding into the grains much right now. We're seeing silver moving pretty large, starting to take over the lead from gold. Silver was up about a buck today. Gold's up about 30 bucks, but they've made a move higher. Crude oil's moving higher with a conflict, with escalation with Israel and Damascus, and that attack that took place yesterday. And so, you know, the dollar is part of this too. And as you look at all macro, you know, inputs, you would think it'd be supporting the grains more, but we're not seeing that. And I think the reason why is there's no fear on the commercial side or on the fund side to get out of short positions. We need a catalyst. We don't have that yet. And so the grains will continue to suffer, even though other markets are making new highs almost on a daily basis.
So what about the soybeans? I mean, today they opened, we had some nice green action going on, and then it seems like they just got pulled in with what was happening between the corn and the wheat.
Yeah, and I'd say wheat's a big anchor on corn. Part of its performance is tied to, you know, the poor wheat action. But I think soybeans are simply, you know, we got 5 waves up from the bottom. You take a look at the May contract, and even the November is stronger. Those spreads used to be inverted where May was over November, and of course now we're taking all that spread away, and we're seeing the new crop, both December corn and November beans, act better. But May corn probably needs to come down to about this 1165 to 1170 area. We traded down to 1175 today, and then I think we can move higher, because if you look from the low back on the 29th of February, where we made that low at 1128.5, I think you can count 5 waves up to the high that we made here a few days back at 1226.75. So whenever you see 5 waves like that from a low, that usually signals the bottom. Now we get, you know, a pullback, and this pullback, in my opinion, will be bought. And that area will be 65 to 70 in the May contract.
You know, we started this week with the weekly crop progress reports. They're with us now until November. Some say, yes, they're market movers. Others say, not really. What's your take? I mean, I know it was a first report, but it brought some very interesting news for the wheat, something we haven't seen in a while.
Yeah, so some pretty good ratings on wheat, obviously. And, of course, there's a little bit of corn planted. Texas is over half done, but not much corn other than your southern states like Kentucky, Tennessee, and some of those that are southern part of Illinois. Maybe some guys got out and got something done. But, you know, I would say that as we look at crop progress and crop conditions, when those start coming out, those do play into how the market trades. And right now we're just getting started, but we have some cold weather here the next 10 days. So people will be a little bit delayed until we get into that second half of April, and then it'll be wide open.
So let me ask you this. Do you guys take what those numbers have to say weekly with a grain of salt, or do you think they do have some sort of market attachment?
No, I think they have a market attachment. Obviously, getting the crop in on time is a big deal toward final yield, and of course, then what is the crop rated? That is a little subjective. We know that last year, you know, like in Illinois, we were rated really poor when we just didn't see that visually in May and June, and then obviously we came out with a bumper crop. So it's kind of subjective on the conditions, but the planting progress are really helpful to know how we're doing as far as getting that crop in the ground.
We had that big report last Thursday, and it still seems to kind of filter its way through some of the commentary. What's your take? Is this something we're going to be trading on for a little bit yet?
Well, a lot of people just don't believe it. They believe the farmer is going to plant a lot more corn, that you're going to see that 90 million acres go up into June. And it could move a little bit, Susan. But the one reason why I think that maybe we won't get as many corn acres is just how bad the break-evens are. When you look at corn over beans, beans in a lot of places in the United States are going to make $100, $150 more an acre versus planting corn. And, you know, we don't have the high, lofty insurance guarantees that we've had in past years. And I just think the farmer might be planting the soybeans over the corn for a lot of different reasons, but mainly a profitability issue to start with.
You talk about those numbers. When we come back, we're going to continue to take a look at what some of the movers are within this marketplace. And, of course, the continued talk about HPAI and the dairy. Is it going to have any effect on the grain? I did have a question about that coming from a grain producer. Also, these hogs are on fire. We're going to find out more details as to what's making them move as we get comments today with Darren Fry with Water Street Advisors. More is coming up on this Tuesday. It's the Channel Final Bell on the Rural Radio Network.
When you're a farmer, tomorrow always brings a new challenge. Unexpected weather, invasive pests, volatile markets, the list goes on. But with the enhanced Channel Seed brand's top-performing products, innovative digital tools, and expanded agronomic support, you can rise to meet them all. Channel Seed, let's rise to the challenge. And catch our new Channel Nebraska podcast on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Read and follow pesticide label directions, IRM, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
KRVN.
Welcome back to the Channel Final Bell on the Rural Radio Network. I'm Susan Littlefield. As our conversation continues with Darren Fry with Water Street Advisors, and we left off kind of talking about the movement that we've seen within the grain complex. So before we jump into livestock, I want to talk about South America. I know that they are moving along very quickly with their harvest, but there has been a lot of concerns over the last couple of weeks about the safrinha corn crop. And as you talk to your contacts down there, overall, how is this crop looking?
You know, in certain areas of that second crop, the crop looks pretty good. I would say anywhere from 30% to 40% of the corn, though, is in an area that has been lacking in rainfall, has gotten some moisture here over the last, let's say, 15 days, but is going back into a drier condition here as we move forward in April and even into May. The monsoon is showing some signs of waning. And it never really was a big monsoon flow this year anyway. But in addition to that, I think what we can't forget is how hot it's been, and it's going to remain warm. And so they just don't have the CEC, the water holding capacity, organic matter, and a lot of those soils to sustain heat and drought stress. And I think that they will have reductions down there when it's all said and done. But this is kind of enlarged, even Paraná, Mato Grosso do Sul, even parts of São Paulo, those are included now in some of this risk area, not just Mato Grosso and Goiás. So it's a pretty big deal, I think, in the second crop corn. They are moving along with the bean crop. They're probably 80% done, and that corn crop got in record time. But I think we're going to have some weather premium that needs to be added to the market here at some point.
All right, let's switch gears and take a look at the livestock. Definitely a mixed type of tone happening. I've seen, you know, cattle flip-flop, but man, today was one of those days. If you looked away for 30 seconds and you come back, it'd be a different picture.
Yeah, things were pretty volatile, especially in the cattle feeder cattle. Feeder cattle closed pretty good, but, you know, the fats yesterday and the feeders were up, and then all of a sudden in about hour time frame, fats moved $6-7 from higher to lower. And of course, feeder cattle, some of the contracts hit 850 lower limit down. And so that's all over this panic around this avian flu and what's happened with getting into the dairy herd and then a human contracting it. And so it was just a perfect storm for the funds to hit the exit button. We know the weights are kind of climbing up. They're a little on the heavy side. We're not going to clean that up real quick. And the Packers been trying to slow down the shackle speed and back stuff up anyway so they could break the cash. And kind of a perfect storm to do that. And so we'll have to see if we can recover from this. But we did some technical damage to the charts for sure.
So as you look at that movement and just overall waiting on this cash, are we going to see cash pick up earlier in the, tomorrow being a Wednesday, or are we going to be seeing it push to a Thursday or Friday once again?
Well, it'll be a battle between what the feed yards are asking and what the Packers willing to bid, obviously. And I would imagine it could take place later in the week. But, you know, cattle and feeder cattle are going to rally again from this level or maybe a little bit lower. I don't expect another huge move down until we rally, but we could give up another $2-3 in fats, $3 or $4 in feeders, and then rally. When we rally, you know, it'll either be halfway back to this high, like 186 or so in the June, or it will be a new high coming. And we got to see how that next rally unfolds. If this was all just a scare and a panic and we don't lose China business or any of the political things that go along with a situation like this, then we could rally to new high still because we know how tight the numbers are. If it does turn political and we lose some of the demand and there's more concern and more liquidation, Susan, then I would say that that next rally is for selling and new highs come sometime down the road because our numbers are not going to change. We're still going to be tight, but those new highs won't come now. They might come a year from now.
All right. What's going on with these hogs? Nice to see some new highs taking place for them.
Well, yeah, we had a bearish report. I mean, slightly bearish. I thought the hog and pig report was kind of leaning that the market would open lower. I thought we might recover just because chart patterns are supportive. And boy, did we ever, yesterday we opened lower, came back. We even added to it today. And so things look pretty good on the hog side, like we got more upside. Maybe another $5 to $7 here in the June and July hogs.
Well, lots of interesting things that are happening in the marketplace. As you look at the rest of the week, what's the one thing you guys are going to really be focusing on for your customers?
Well, I think there's a couple things. One is in the cattle, are we going to stop the bleeding and rally? And how does that rally unfold in three ways or five? And that's going to help us understand a lot more. But also, how does the cash come in this week? And so that's on the cattle side. Hogs are kind of in autopilot. I'm looking up in those. I think there's an opportunity coming, but it's probably more in that May-June timeframe. If you look at grains, hey, corn's got a bottom here, and corn's got to turn around, and so do beans. So looking for that into the Thursday time frame and elevated prices going into Friday's close. We'll see if that happens or not, but those are the things we're watching for this week.
All right. Best way for folks to get a hold of you?
They can always give us a call toll-free here at the office. We're at 866-249-2528, or they can look me up on Twitter. It's at Frye_WSS.
All right. That is the Channel Final Bell being brought to you by Channel Seed and your local Channel Seed professional on the Rural Radio Network.